What's up, guys? Welcome back. It's your boy, Sean, and this is Real Bearded News. And now, you know, Disney has been coming out with some stuff here and there, and sometimes they decide to make you spend money on it. Sometimes they decide the movie's not good enough for you to spend money. They went ahead and bet on Mulan that people are going to go ahead and pay $30 extra for their Disney Plus subscription to go ahead and be able to watch Mulan, which was an absolute piece of crap. So when they went ahead and decided that Raya and the Last Dragon was going to go ahead and be a $30 price tag to watch it, I was not really excited to watch it. Did I pay $30? No. I paid more than that because I went to the movie theaters. Because in Utah, movie theaters are open. And Raya and the Last Dragon, I took my son to go watch it, was a fantastic film. And I was so happy that I watched it, honestly. I think Raya and the Last Dragon is one of those movies that if you don't have kids, then you may not enjoy it. Like, I know I was, before going to go watch it, there was a couple of other reviews that I heard. And they were like, yeah, like, it wasn't a good movie. Like, it was all right for what it was, but it wasn't really great. I loved every moment of it. And just to start off, I mean, Don Hull, one of the directors of Big Hero 6, obviously doing a fantastic job since Big Hero 6. I mean, Big Hero 6 is one of the movies that my son and I enjoy thoroughly. I mean, we watched that movie time and time and time again. I mean, it was one of those movies that my son watched before I did, even though I owned it. And so he would just watch it over and over and over and over again. And then eventually one day, when he was rewatching it for like the 100th time, I sat down. I think we might have been in church when I started watching it. And then my ex-wife was so pissed about it. But I started watching it there. I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually really good. And then she told us to put it away. So when we got back home, like, I immediately restarted it, started watching it. And obviously, spoiler alert, when he dies, I was like, oh my gosh, and I started crying. So anyway, Donald does obviously fantastic work. And I was just really, really impressed with this. Another one of the characters that people that are bringing so much weight to this movie is Awkwafina. I mean,
she is a fantastic actress. I really do enjoy her. I enjoy her in the comedy Nora from Queens. Very, very New York thing. I enjoyed her in Crazy Rich Asians. I can't wait into seeing a sequel to that movie. Not only that, I mean, she does really, really great. And one of my concerns when I found out, like, yes, I love Awkwafina. One of my concerns was when I learned that she was going to be playing one of the titular characters, which is Tsitsu, the last dragon. I was worried that they were going to, like, overuse her for the comedy ploys, you know. But the beats that she was hitting were just on the mark. I personally didn't feel that she was being used excessively for comic relief, but the dramatics that she also had were just so well done. Another character that we should all be familiar, because she was a bit of controversy at one point, is Kelly Marie Tran. She also plays the titular character Raya, and if you don't know who Kelly Marie Tran is, it's shame on you. Or actually, congratulations, because you were in part of the issue. She played Rose in Star Wars, and she was one of the most hated characters for whatever reason. And I think it was just the arc that Flynn got that they thought that she was the worst. But she does awesome in this movie. And I was just, oh, man. Like, this movie was just fantastic, right? So the setting of this movie is Kumandra, and Kumandra is basically this Asian, I guess you could call it Asian, and the reason I say Asian is, like, you could call it Asian is because, yes, it takes place in a fictional Asian place, but in reality, Kumandra is just the world, if you really think about it. Like, if we want to go ahead and dig deep into this movie, Kumandra could represent the world. And one more character before I forget, who is in this, is the person who plays Raya's nemesis. Her name is Namari, and that's played by Gemma Chan, who plays Astrid in Crazy Rich Asians. So we have two characters here from Crazy Rich Asians, which, again, fantastic movie. You should go watch it if you haven't. And all three characters that I'm, or all three actresses that I mentioned, Killing Marie Tran, Awkwafina, and Gemma Chan, do a fantastic job. And you could really see that there was some type of genuine chemistry between all three. And what I was saying about Kumandra is, like, it could be represented as the world, right? Now, Raya and Namari are presented as these, like, great rivals, and it starts as them being children, when Namari basically tricks Raya in showing them the dragon stone or the dragon crystal, which holds a lot of power, and whoever holds it basically kind of, like, rules the empire, kind of a thing. And Raya's dad is the one that holds it, but he's not trying to rule anything. He's actually trying to bring everyone together in Kumandra. And the really cool about this rivalry is that Raya and Namari push each other to be better each time. So basically, when they face off the first time when they were children, I think that, give or take, they were like 12-ish or 8. And so they really push, like, their fighting styles, and as time progresses, which you don't see, like, you go from the beginning and then it pushes forward, I think it's 6 years. But you basically understand that in those 6 years, each one of them were doing something for their kingdom. And basically, for Raya personally, that encounter that she had with Namari initially is what pushes her to be better. That and bringing back her dad. Because you have this world where these, when you have the stone is gone, there's no more light in the world, kind of. And these things basically turn you into stone. And the only thing that could bring you back is a dragon. And this dragon stone power, which has been split into 6 different parts, if I'm not mistaken, it was 6. And so the little cool dynamic that we have between Namari and Raya is what really progresses the story, especially each time that they meet. It's just fantastic. As Raya grew older, her heart pretty much hardened. Like, her dad was teaching her and showing her how to be, like, basically, like, a good human, to love people, you know, number one rule, love one another, right? Treat people like the way you want to be treated. To trust people, to genuinely trust people. And as she grew older, that experience, again, that experience that she had with Namari and losing her dad really shows, like, the movie really does a really good job in showing how she became hardened against the world. And she doesn't trust people and doesn't really care for them. Like, she does, because that's who she is genuinely, because that's how her dad raised her. But she turns like that really cold shoulder towards, you know, Namari and even other characters that we initially see, how she tries to manipulate them or try to get away with something without really having to be genuine or vulnerable. Like, her general thing is not trying to be vulnerable, which, although you don't see much of Namari is another character, which if we had Namari and whatever her
kingdom is called,
we had just a movie about Namari, and then, you know, like, you still get those still same fights from Raya, right? So you still have those fights happen, but then you follow more Namari. I'm pretty sure that you could see how Namari, even though her mother is very hardened, and that's what she's teaching her, Namari actually has a very soft heart as well. But again, she is hardened because of her situation. So with Raya, although her dad really preached against, you know, not being unified, right? Like, he wanted a unification of Kumandra. Raya was really not about that life at all. And her dad really didn't want that consistent warring between I call them kingdoms, so you could probably call them tribes as well. And one thing that Raya learns is when she once she has Awkwafina's character, Tsitsu, who plays the last dragon, you know, she basically is advocating for the very, very same thing. You know, this all-powerful being is basically telling her, like, hey, you know, when I was around, like, when you wanted to meet with, you know, the leader of this kingdom, you had to bring them a gift. She's like, I'm not bringing them a gift, but, like, we're just going to steal it. And she's like, have you ever tried just asking for it? You know? Which was really, really, really cool because they, like I said at the beginning, they don't overplay Awkwafina's comedic style. And it's really the way she goes about, or the way the character goes about with Raya trying to convince her that there is another way instead of just going head on and like ramming stuff. Her comedy goes into it really, really well. And it's not really dry comedy, but you could see where the lightness of the, where she's trying to teach Raya something very important and makes it really light, which for the character Raya, it may not be the best thing because she's obviously, you know, hardened already. So when you're making it light, she could easily dismiss it. And the way that she consistently dismisses a lot of the things that Tsitsu tells her, eventually the dragon basically tells her, hey, come with me. And she takes her to where this kingdom is called Heart, which is where Raya's from. And, or at least that's how I remember that it happened. And she shows her all the dragons have stones. And she basically tells her the story of how it happened. And basically, although Tsitsu is basically like the greatest hero because she brought lightness back to the world and all the humans that were turned into stone were no longer stone, and she sacrifices herself, the reality is that she was the youngest of her family, and all the dragons have different powers, and they all put it into this one stone and gave it to her, and she was able to, you know, do whatever she had to do to basically save the world. And so, as she's telling this story, Raya is kind of understanding what they have to do. And so they employ, so at this point they're trying to get Namari's people half of the stone so they could recreate it, so like that, like come back to the world. And so when this does happen, Raya kind of understands and she's willing to give it a try. And some situations happen and it ends up going wrong, which instantly hardens Raya's heart again. And so now she is going full-fledged trying to fight and essentially kill Namari for the stone. And they get to the point where the darkness is just fully coming to engulf everyone. And so everybody in this group of Raya's people, or not necessarily her people, but her basically her band of her little clique, right? They all end up doing the same thing that the dragons do. And it is just so fantastic. And it was such a great message that it basically tells us that, yes, we are all different. And I think this may have been an unintentional message the movie had, or it was done with full purpose. But we are all, and this is why I say Kumandra is essentially an allegory for the world in general. Even though they have six different tribes or six different kingdoms that all form part of the dragon, you know, in the world, everyone's different. And not one or two people will not have the same opinion, right? It's not rare when people have the same opinion. That's what we create. We have culture. But everyone's different. Even within cultures, people are different. And the best thing about being different is being able to learn from each other, is being able to love one another so we could all have Kumandra, right? And I think that is just being able to have peace in the world is appreciating one another, is appreciating differences. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, blue, green, purple. All of that crap doesn't matter, right? And this movie just does a fantastic job at being able to express that without getting way too political, or without getting political at all, or without just like slapping you right in the face with like what the message was. It's there and it's not there. And that's one of the greatest things. I mean, the other thing that makes this movie fantastic is just how gorgeous it looks. It is so colorful. It is beautiful. The last movie that was that beautiful was Coco, just how colorful and bright and gorgeous that it was. It was fantastic. And the thing that brings everything together is really the soundtrack. And it's just, it's one of the most beautiful stories that Disney has been able to tell in recent years. It's a shame. It's really a shame that they dropped it in Disney Plus the same day of the season finale to WandaVision. And not only did they drop it in the same day that it was the season finale for WandaVision, but they also dropped it as Disney Plus premiere. And I think that's really hurting them, when I think they know they had a good product at this point, the same way they probably believe they had a good product with Mulan. But they really hurt themselves and they shoot themselves in the foot by releasing such a fantastic movie the same day they release the final episode or the season finale to WandaVision, which was great. If you have not watched it, go for it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the real question that you're asking is, should you go watch this in Disney Plus, pay $30 in premiere, or should you go to the movie theater? Honestly, 100% with my hand in my heart, ladies and gentlemen, I say go watch a damn thing in the theater. You will not regret, first of all, being in a theater. I mean, it's been a while, guys. Get back in there. But secondly, you will not regret how beautiful it looks. Like, I don't know if you have a 4K TV, a 5K TV, or a 1080p, but the gorgeousness of this movie, I don't think I could emphasize enough how gorgeous this looks, how amazing the soundtrack is when you're watching this movie. It is just so fantastic. You should definitely watch this in the movie theaters. This isn't a matinee movie either. This isn't one of those wait until $5 Tuesday. This is pay full price on a Friday night. Take your girlfriend, take your boyfriend, take your kids. Your kids will love it if you have kids. And if you're just a big kid and you love Disney movies, this is definitely one that you waited for so long to go watch because of COVID. So screw COVID. Kick it in the curb. You got it immunized. So go for it. Go to the theater. Go watch this. I give Raya and the Last Dragon 5 out of 5. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate your help for being here. I love talking to you guys. I love telling you what you should be watching, or what you should avoid, or what you should just stream or go to the movie theater. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Really appreciate it. Leave a comment on our Instagram, or leave a comment down below in whatever format it is that you listen to, or direct message me. Real Bearded News, guys. R-E-E-L Bearded News. Thanks so much. And between the next time that I tell you what you should be watching or what you should be avoiding, keep reading those comic books. Keep watching that anime. Rock and roll. Above it all, stay nerdy.